The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Wednesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM channel 158. It's Radio's Gil Alexander, everybody. It's Kelly Bidlin alongside.
Heyo.
What's happening?
Some aggressive food takes on the NASCAR changeover between shows. Wow. Ranch on pizza just blew Gil's mind.
What's wrong with you people?
I didn't say I did.
And by
it
you people, I mean people who dip their pizza in ranch dressing. What the heck?
It's not bad. I will say that. I've tried it, but I'm kind of with you. It's not something I do regularly. You have good pizza. You shouldn't be doing it.
Who thought to do that the first time it happened?
All I remember is it blew my mind the first time I ever saw it, probably like 20 years ago. I was like, what are you doing? Yeah. What are you doing? You're dipping pizza in ranch? And then I tried it, and I was like, okay, that's pretty good.
Yeah, in the way that like just dumping all kinds of things on everything is good. But like, what's the point?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm glad we got that settled. On the show today, Steve Fezzik. Normally, we have Fezzik Fridays. Now, I'm gonna walk you through this, Kelly. Today is not a Friday, and we have Fezzik on, so it's not technically a Fezzik Friday, but he'll be here for three segments next hour.
So we have to be here tomorrow?
What?
We have to be here tomorrow, because it's not Friday.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Got it.
Yes.
Okay. Let me make note.
Fezzik, among things he wants to talk about is this Crack segment that we had last week, where Crack said you can't beat the NBA. Carl Sack got mad about it. You got mad at me about it. I took bullets for it, happily. But Steve has something to say about it. And then Crack tomorrow will have some more to say about it.
Okay. Looking forward to it.
Because other shows apparently have seized on it and gone after Crack about it.
Mm.
Okay. Sure. It's amazing. Gambling Twitter is a great place.
Yeah, I heard one podcast bring it up.
Yeah.
There wasn't much detail in it. We didn't get mentioned at all.
Yeah, I wouldn't expect us to get mentioned. What do we have to do with it? But I'm just saying, it's amazing how... Well, Steve has something to say about this. Let's just get it. I think he makes a broader point, which is a great one. We'll get into that with Fezzik next hour.
I heard someone reference our show without referencing our show, though.
Oh,
no. It was like, oh, okay, thanks, guys. Thanks.
That's the other thing about gambling Twitter you always love. What is it about our little corner industry that no one wants to acknowledge anybody?
Yeah, else? I don't know.
The lack of professionalism is just an amazing thing. Anyway, that's for next hour. This hour, we're going to preview the Memorial. That's the golf tournament where everybody has to shake Jack's hand afterwards, right? When they walk off the green at 18.
Afterward, before, every time you see him.
He is, after all, the GOAT, as the kids call him today. 18 majors, the Memorial. Kelly will have his thoughts on that. JVT, our senior NBA analyst, on now what is two conference finals that are both at 3-1. For that matter, we got four conference finals, hockey included, that are all 3-1. But last night, the Pacers get it done against the Knicks. We go back to MSG in a couple nights. We have a Game 5 closeout tonight in OKC, potentially, and then potentially... the Knicks, trying to stave off disaster tomorrow night. So that's where we are in that. We'll go through the game last night momentarily. Will Hill will join us, all his bets, basketball and baseball and beyond. By the way, tennis, two plays that have yet to start remaining today. One on the men's side, one on the ladies' side. Again, every host, every guest, every sport for every show is at VSiN.com/picks for... subscribers. I almost said for survivors. For subscribers. The remaining plays today, one on the men's side, Jensen Brooksby. Oh, Jensen Brooksby.
Oh, Jensen Brooksby.
I don't know if he's ever met any of my people before. Jensen Brooksby. Jensen Brooksby has a match later today against Sebastian Korda. Love the number here on Brooksby. Plus 265. His clay numbers are outstanding. Can he get it done against a player that has been, they've both had their share of injuries, but Brooksby has not been on tour nearly as much as Korda has here in recent history. But I got Brooksby at plus 265. And then on the ladies' side, we are fading Danielle freaking Collins. By the way, she is as unlikable as ever on the court.
Just
some of her things. Oh, don't worry, I get it. I was a ball girl. She does it like her, the manner in which she speaks is just so off-putting. Anyway, that's not the point of the fade. The point of the fade is that Olga Nedeljkovic has great clay numbers, and at plus 132, we're taking her as well. So Jensen Brooksby on the men's side, Olga Nedeljkovic on the ladies' side. The two plays we had remaining yesterday split, but when you're playing all dogs, that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. That's
Olga
positive.
Danilovic.
That's
sorry,
that's
I just
right.
wanted to say it.
Danilovic. The other thing that happened, so Will Hill, not the Will Hill, but I was talking about Will Hill Caesars. Eric Biggio tweeted us during the show yesterday that they were going to put up most wins in the month of June for Major League Baseball, that market, yesterday afternoon. And in fact, they made good on that, and they did. So I dove into full research of that. Now, here's the thing. I don't want to talk about it yesterday because Circa hasn't put them out yet. So I may go ahead today and make a bet at William Hill Caesars.
Okay.
But I want Circa because Circa has the tie-breaking rules with the fewest losses and run differential, whereas Will Hill is a dead heat shop on this. But good on Eric Biggio, good on William Hill Caesars for putting this out days in advance. We don't usually get that. So anyway, I've narrowed it down to four. Narrowed it down to four teams. The other thing that started to happen with this is I get unsolicited DMs and texts with everybody telling me what their picks are, right? Before I even have a chance to research it. I hate being,
you don't want to be swayed.
I don't want to be influenced. Right. I just want to know this. Right. I just want to be another thing. Anyway, I went through it and I didn't land on any of theirs anyway. But you know what their common team was? I'll tell you what their common team was that I am not betting. The Texas Rangers were their common team.
Okay. All right.
Everybody seems to love the Rangers.
So what day should we plan on the Gill breakdown? Tomorrow,
Friday? Let me figure out. Let me go after the show. I said I would do this yesterday. I failed to do so. But I'll go out to the desk here afterwards, the ticket window, and I'll say, hey, Circa, when are you putting out your June wins? If they say today or tomorrow, I'll probably do it if they say today, I'll do it tomorrow morning.
And if they say tomorrow, we'll do it on Friday.
That's right. And if they say not even then, well, God help us, I'll just do it Friday morning.
Right. Yeah, we'll do it Friday regardless. Yeah.
Here's the May most wins now with just three games left for everybody at the top, except for the Phillies, who are at the very top. They have four left. So the Phillies are in the catbird seat. I think every one of these teams won yesterday, if I'm not mistaken. So the Phillies are eight. By the way, this is a very interesting month. I don't recall seeing this in the 8 months that we've done this, six last year and two this year. But after this group of six, there's not a team with more than 13 wins.
Oh, that's interesting.
So there's a huge gap between these six teams and everybody else. The Phillies are 18-6. The Twins, Cardinals, and Tigers, 17 wins, but 17-6, 17-7, 17-8 for tiebreaker purposes. The Yankees and Cubs at 16 wins, but the Yankees 16-7 and the Cubs 16-8. The Yankees have the best run differential, but it might not matter. And the main thing is the Phillies have one extra game to play. They're not only on top, but they get four shots at this, whereas the Twins, Cardinals, Tigers, Yankees, and Cubs only have three shots at this. So if you have the Phillies, again, they were one of the five teams that we had isolated beforehand, and I just didn't pick them. I picked the Padres. That was the thing yesterday in Major League Baseball. You see, there's two teams gacked six-run leads.
I saw one of them.
The Marlins put up a six spot against the Padres in the first. Padres came back and won it. And then the Diamondbacks were crushing the Pirates 6-0. Pirates, the Buccos, stormed back and beat them 9-6.
Was this the Marlins game that I just saw the video on the internet with the poor rookie second baseman?
Oh, I believe that was it, yes.
Oh, my God. That's so sad, man. This is one of those like sad stories where the guy, I feel terrible for the guy. I'm sure there's people laughing at him. It's like one of those stories where the guy's been in the minors for like 8 years or something and gets called up and he makes three errors and he's crying. I felt so bad. Yeah. He's crying. Like, he's really, he was so upset.
There's no crying at baseball.
There's no crying at baseball. I felt bad for the guy, though.
Last night, Pacers get it done and cover. Beat the Knicks in a game that, besides the fact that they played guys I like out of the first quarter in a commercial, which is a great highlight of that game, it wasn't super competitive after halftime. It was nip and tuck. It was tied late in the second quarter. Then the Pacers scored the last 6 points of the second quarter and then extended that run into the beginning of the third quarter. So they actually went on a 14-0 run, end of second, early third, to go up 12 points. Their biggest lead was 15 with 9:52 to go. The Knicks did make some inroads, but they never got it closer than six. Six was the closest they got it. They did that a few times, but a virtuoso performance. By the way, the Pacers 130, the Knicks 121 in a game that was 43-35 after the first quarter.
Yeah.
Unders were donezo from the beginning, but a virtuoso performance from Tyrese Halliburton, 32 points, 12 boards, 15 assists. This was interesting because when we went into halftime, they said he had 9 rebounds. By the end of the third quarter, he only had 8 rebounds. Did you see this?
Yes, I did.
They took a rebound away from him, but he did get to the triple-double. Not only 32, 12, and 15, and no other Pacer had more than 5 rebounds, but he had 4 steals and 0 turnovers. That is the first time in NBA history that a player went 30, 15, 10 or better with 0 turnovers in a playoff game. Unbelievable. And now we go back to New York where the Knicks are fighting for dear life. Will you have a play in game 5?
I took a little bit of 5 last night with the Pacers.
You did?
Yeah. Not big. We've got our series prices. I don't think the Knicks are completely dead yet. Like, this has still been a fairly tight series game to game. I don't think there's a massive separation between these two teams, but maybe the Knicks got a chance back at home. And if it goes back to Indiana, though, I think it longest we're seeing this is go 6. I was a little surprised seeing there was 5.5s that opened up. I wasn't able to grab one of those, so I took a small piece of +5.
I'm seeing some 4.5s now.
That's right. It mainly went to 4.5. I actually think it's a lot of the spots are back out to 5 this morning. Yeah, mainly 5s I'm seeing. I'll wait. I mean, if you're going to give me over 5, I'll be on the Pacers. It's just, man, they've got the Knicks playing their style. That's like every time I see one of these first quarters, Gil, where it's the Knicks are running with them, and it's, I know they think the Pacers do such a good job with teams like the Knicks, and this could happen with the Thunder too, of you get them believing that they can play their same style of play as well as they can, and it's just fool's gold.
Little Jedi mind trick they pull on you.
Yeah, exactly.
By the way, that whole thing we talked about yesterday when Brunson and Kat are on the court together, and then when you pull one of them off, it's amazing how that goes for the Knicks. As soon as you pull one of them off, things go well for the Knicks. Mm-hmm. Both together, not so much. More on this and the game tonight with Will Hill next.
The Sports Betting Network.
Want to bet smarter? Start with smarter insights. Right now you can check out Wes Reynolds' Memorial Tournament Preview, Greg Peterson's MLB Picks, and the Timberwolves Thunder Game 5 Best Bets. That is at VSiN.com. And later today you can check out Jonathan Davis's Panthers Hurricanes. That's Hurricanes, Kelly. Game 5 Picks. Steve Mackinnon's MLB Analytics Report and Mike Somich's MLB Futures to Consider. Right now you can sign up for our annual subscription and get 14 months for only $199 with promo code PRO. Just head to VSiN.com/subscribe to sign up today. We get tweets at Beat of the Book. Los Vegas 514, yo. Shout out to Drew Dinsick and a great assist from one young Kelly Billen for the amount of time before the Flavio Cobolli match started yesterday. Loaded up and hit. Definitely more than just a producer. Thanks, homie. What did you do? Did you put it up quickly?
I just found the match and warned everybody was starting in like 10 minutes.
Oh, that's very nice. Yeah. Okay. Good assist.
Good. Good job. Flavio got home.
Flavio got home easy. Nice. Easy peasy. D-Gen Southern Gent. Maybe it's because I went to public school in the 90s and aughts.
That's a good tweet.
But dipping the cafeteria pizza in ranch became the only way I was able to stomach it after eating it for over a decade. Only way to stomach pizza or only way to stomach ranch?
Yeah, the pizza. So like, that's where I'm like,
public school pizza.
The worse the pizza, I'm far more okay with the idea of dipping it in ranch. This is where I'm like talking, like it's kind of like steak sauce, right? If you got a good steak, you shouldn't need any sauce. If you got a good pizza, you shouldn't need any ranch.
Okay, that makes more sense. He asked, was this not a thing in the DMV? Schools are down in Florida. Well, I don't know about Florida for you, but for DMV, I don't know one person who did this.
I don't think I saw it. I didn't see it until like college. I think college was the first time I ever saw anybody do that.
Jason McKinney, sorry I jinxed your May Padres bet. I guess wearing my City Connect hat was a bad sign, but I had a great time visiting with you. It was nice to meet you as well. Remember, Jason was the young gentleman who he was wearing a Padres City Connect garb we talked about the Padres. So no, it wasn't you, Jason, I promise. Sean's Fox Plays. I love the most wins bet in a month, but don't sleep on the team month wins under. Best bet continues to be Colorado under cashed with 6 days left in the month. It was 9.5. Can't wait for June under number. Also, DK let you bet most wins in a division. Yes, they did. We mentioned that. And we mentioned both of these at some point, Sean. The Rockies thing just continues day after day.
What was their win total for May?
Like 9.5.
Wow.
Yeah. Do you know what their record is in May?
What's it gonna be for June? Okay, 4.5?
It was 9.5. So we only show the top of the May wins. You know what the Rockies record is? I want to get this correct. I'm scrolling to it right now.
It was pretty interesting you talking about that break though in the standings.
Yes.
Because I thought you were gonna talk about we haven't really seen this many teams bunched at the top.
Oh, no.
And I was like, I was gonna kind of push back and I was like, oh, that's interesting though. There is like this tier separation.
Yeah. The Rockies are 4-21 this month. by the way, with a minus 97 run differential.
4.5 wins. Let's go.
They can't get there anymore. The under wins. Steve, the proxy, how is this possible? The Rockies are on pace to spend $3.5 million per win, more than the Mets $3.2 million per win, despite having a fraction of the expectations. Colorado's payroll is $123 million. Is this the worst team in baseball history? It is shaping up to be. That is for sure. Will Hill joins us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him on Twitter at NotTheWillHill. He is the star of the Shoulda Bet More podcast, Bear Bets Pods over at Fox, and of course the Megapod during NFL season at Beating the Book. How you doing, man?
Gilly, Kelly, what's going on? Actually had a had Kelly Billen on the podcast today for people that once they get finished listening to this and listening to VEASAN all day can check out. And VEASAN Primetime too. Got to throw VEASAN Primetime a bone with my buddy Matt Eumanns.
That's right, VEASAN Primetime. Which two nights do you do it?
Thursday and Friday, 7 to 11 Eastern.
Thursday and Friday, Eumanns and Willie on the show on VEASAN Primetime. I will say this because you were the first one to wonder about this. I asked Carl Sack about the Oklahoma City Thunder, who are trying to close out the T-Wolves tonight. OKC is a cool 8-point favorite. The total is 220.5. But you brought up the fact that they have not covered a single game on the road during this playoffs. Has any team ever, we wondered, won an NBA title not covering a game on the road? And Carl was kind enough to put it in the Killer Sports database. He says in his database, which only goes back to 2002... no team since 2002 has ever started 0-7 against the spread on the road in the playoffs, let alone gone on to win the title. Closest comp, the 07-08 Celtics, the KG, Pierce, Rondo, anything is possible Celtics. They started 0-6 against the spread on the road the year that they won the title, but then they actually did cover on the road. So there you go. Thunder looking for that kind of history as well.
I actually remember that run pretty well, and I was betting back then. The Hawks actually in round one as massive, massive underdogs took them to 7, and they got obliterated in game 7. But that was one where that was a really dominant team for a team to go, you know, 7 in the first round. As far as tonight, it would be Minnesota or nothing. I'm going to have probably a small bet on Minnesota just because I've seen this before where young teams with a chance to either win a championship or go to a finals get tight. I understand this is very narrative driven, but I make comparison to this Thunder team, to the first Warriors title team, 2014, 2015. I remember them being in the same spot, up 3-1 at home, chance to go to the finals, and they were just tight. They won, but it was close. I don't think they covered. Same thing, Nuggets a couple years ago, chance to win the championship. They bombed Miami, game 3, game 4, game 5 at home, big favorites, losing most of the way. They eked it out. I could see a little nerves here. I could also see a scenario, to be honest, where games 1 or 2 happens and they win it and win it comfortably. I would just worry a little bit about nerves. I'd worry a little about laying the 8. So I've been anti-Minnesota for the most part in the series. I didn't agree with the analysis that the series line was too high, so it's not like I've been pro-T-Wolves, but it'd be plus the 8 or nothing for me. So you put me down for a little Minnesota plus 8. I don't know if there's any 8.5s left, but dog for me in this game.
Okay. And by the way, for those who missed it yesterday, we're talking about 3-1 historically in NBA playoffs history. Only 13 times in the history of the NBA. Remember, 0 times has a team come back from a 3-0 deficit. 4 have pushed a game 7. But in 3-1 series, only 13 times has a team come back from a 3-1 deficit. And only 5 of those times has the team that has come back from a 3-1 deficit not had home court. So the T-Wolves are in that 5 historical subset. So it's going to be real difficult, needless to say, for them to come back and survive this and get to the NBA Finals. What about tomorrow night? We were just talking about this. Knicks, also a 3-1, but at least they have the home court. So they're in the 8 subset, if you will, of the previous preamble that I just had. The Knicks are now 5-point favorite consensus. I'm seeing some 4.5s, 222.5. What do you do with this game?
I like the Knicks, but before I get to that, speaking of 3-1 in series history, this stat is courtesy of Nate Duncan, who you talked about yesterday. 27 teams in NBA history, I think it's 26, this would be 27, have been the higher seed in a 7-game series and lost in 5. If the Knicks lose this game tomorrow, Thibodeau would be the coach for 4 of the 27, which is really, really remarkable when you think about it. I like the Knicks. I think that, boy, I just have a hard time seeing them lose all 3 at the Garden. I think Brunson will get some calls. I know Indiana is not one of these teams where they get fat and happy once they steal one on the road, or these games are not gravy to them where they are, you know, to other teams. They're just relentless. They're very competitive. But I do think the Knicks will win and cover. I don't love the idea of laying 4.5, 5, where the Pacers have looked probably like the slightly better team, in my opinion here. But I do think we're getting a game 6. I don't think the Knicks are dead in this series. That being said, boy, I really was not aware of how good Nesmith was. This is one where, you know, watching the regular season can hurt you, can help you in some aspects. He is, boy, and Kelly, correct me if I'm wrong, because you watch this stuff every night, one of the 20, 25 most valuable players in the league. What he does offensively with the threes, I mean, he is the ultimate 3-and-D player. And did you see this stat? Brunson and Nesmith were on the court last night for 30 minutes combined when they were both on the court. Brunson had 10 points. Brunson was on the court with no Nesmith for 6 minutes. He had 21 points in those 6 minutes. So Nesmith, even with the bum ankle, is really giving Brunson a hard time. So that's just, I thought, was a fascinating stat. Bridges has been bad for the Knicks, giving up 5 first-round picks for that guy. That guy is just, man, not that good defensively, doesn't attack the basket. There's a lot to be concerned about with the Knicks, but when you look at like 43% from three-point land last night, 43 rebounds as opposed to 31, they did a lot of things well and still lost the game comfortably. So, again, I don't love the idea of laying points here, but I do think we'll get a game 6. I'd be surprised if the Knicks really lost all three of these at home and lost in 5. That would be a bad look for the Knicks. But give this Indy team credit. They are relentless. They're competitive. And maybe they're going to be in the finals here and without having to play a 6th game, which, boy, what were the odds you could have gotten on that a month or so ago? Jeez.
Yeah, Stan Van Gundy even mentioned at one point, Brunson, he's like, Brunson is happy with anybody but Nesmith, yeah, guarding him when Nesmith had to go to the bench. Baseball today, what do you got? Full day of Major League Baseball.
I got a couple niche ones. Jared Young for the Mets. We were talking about this in the group chat. He's a DH for the Mets. He's a call-up. He gets pinch hit for after like 2 plate appearances. So you can get under 0.5 hits, like minus $1.20. I played that. Sometimes he's only getting 2 plate appearances. Sandy Alcantara, under 17.5 outs. He has been just downright awful all year. He keeps getting priced like the guy that won the Cy Young a few years ago. He's nowhere near that guy. So those two, I'm running up against the wall here, but I'll give you 2 futures. I think Jacob Wilson minus 170 at FanDuel to win Rookie of the Year is good. I know laying a price this early in the season is dangerous, but he's so far and above the field. I think that price is justified. And I did bet Luke Weaver 15-1 AL reliever of the year, 0.6 ERA. He's the closer for the Yankees. It's a good story because he was a failed starter. You got the New York market. I think that 15-1 is a good price. Mason Miller's 3-1. Mason Miller's been awful, so I don't understand that pricing of that market.
What happened to Mason Miller? Yeah. Thank you, Will. Appreciate it, man. Thank you so much. Feast in Primetime Thursday and Friday night with humans.
See you guys. Thanks.
See ya. Courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. JVT, our senior NBA analyst on the other side. Oh, one other note to add to that 3-1 historical comebacks in the NBA. That coach is nowhere to be found. That's next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Don't forget to check out the Sharp Plays, unmatched transparency with records updated daily, AI betting analysis, real-time global betting information, and alerts directly from the pros. We invite you to check out sharpplays.com. I just want to read this one tweet here, Kelly. This is from our buddy Tim Lawson at The Better Life. Great podcast. Tim Lawson, also the Megapod historian. He does a great job of tracing back all our guests and all the moments during the Megapod throughout its more than decade life. He says, I met a Marine who loved ranch dressing so much that he'd put it on his cereal if he didn't have milk.
Dude,
that is disgusting.
How does that replace milk?
It's so gross. I don't know. Wyatt Tomchek, our buddy, says that when he was a kid, or maybe even today, he said he will just eat his cereal dry. He doesn't like milk. Even he will not put ranch on, and he loves pizza with ranch.
He's back there eating dry cereal often, but I just thought it was a work thing.
He's another story. By the way, before we get to JVT, I didn't want to gloss over this stat that Will threw out about Thibodeau. So let's repeat what he said: that in the history of the NBA playoffs, 26 times has the favored team got beaten in 5 games. I'm shocked that it's that low in the history of the NBA.
It's a lot of games.
I mean, I get it, right? Because you're the favorite. You shouldn't lose in 5. But Tom Thibodeau has been the author, if you will, the coach of 3 of those 26. And he could be 4 out of 27 if the Knicks lose in game 5. I was mentioning the 3-1 deficits and how it's only happened 13 times in the history of the NBA that a team has come back from a 3-1 deficit. And in the case of the T-Wolves, only 5 times where you don't have home court in games 5 and 7. So I thought, I got to thinking, oh, yeah, what's the Doc Rivers stat? Of those 13 times, Doc Rivers was the coach 3 times that gacked the 3-1 lead.
Yeah, those two are something special.
It was the Orlando Magic in 2003 and then the Clippers twice in 2015 and 2020. He is not part of these playoffs, so we don't have to worry about
this. I don't know that we're fully out of the woods when it comes to two things in the NBA. Tibbs being on the hot seat still.
Yeah.
And the Thunder going after Giannis. Like, I don't think either one of those is completely done and set.
How you keep wedging that in. You want this to happen
so
badly.
Just like, I think
what do you want better, Wemby and Giannis or that?
Oh, Wemby and Giannis.
That's more.
Yeah, Wemby and Giannis, yeah, for sure.
Because if Giannis goes to the OKC and they make that work somehow, is this even fair?
No, it's going to be disgusting.
Not fair at all. The 79-14 Thunder. JVT joins us now. He, of course, is the co-host of Money Moves, which follows us each and every day with Stormy Bonatoni and Jonathan Bontobel. And, of course, he's our senior NBA analyst as well. He joins us now courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him on Twitter at MeJVT. How you doing, John?
I'm good. I was better when I didn't hear about the ranch and the cereal thing. Like, I'm a proponent of ranch dressing, you know, to certain means. I don't really like it on pizza that much, but like, I like it with a French fry, obviously. But that's gross. So I would assume that you just put all ranch dressing instead of milk in the cereal, correct? You don't just put
so
a smattering
gross
on top, which means that then there is ranch dressing left to then drink after you're done with the cereal.
Oh.
So then, like, do you do that?
Okay.
Because that's always the best part of cereal is the flavored milk. So I just don't know what to do anymore.
This is the only thing I brought up with Wyatt. I was like, you can't truly appreciate a Cocoa Pebble of some kind because they are best appreciated with the milk in it because you get the chocolate milk afterwards.
Or just the sugar milk of a Frosted Flakes.
Exactly. Like, yeah. Yes, exactly. Yep. Yeah. He's missing out. He doesn't know.
John, before we get into your thoughts on the game tonight and the game tomorrow night, West and East. Forgive me if this is ground that has been covered on your show, on other shows, but did you hear Charles Barkley utter the phrase, the Oklahoma City Thunder Invitational, the other night on TNT?
No.
Yeah.
Did he really?
I almost texted you, and somehow I got distracted, but I was like, okay, wait a minute. He must be listening because I was like, wait a minute. There's no copyright JVT on this. He actually said that. Yeah. About the Western Conference, which you, of course, were the first to ever say that. And it looks like you will be correct here. Minnesota's done tonight.
I think they're done in the sense of, like, I think they lose. I think that this number is still like a tad high. Like, I'd probably go Timberwolves more than anything else. But I think that this ends tonight. I think OKC has discovered a couple of things. It's actually led me to a prop bet later this evening, but they've adjusted, right? They at the start of the second half went to a single big lineup, which had Holmgren. Holmgren was incredible. The offense has not been good with Hartenstein out there. They've been good on defense, but the offense has really been lacking. They've really discovered that. They have not figured out, but they have done a great job on Anthony Edwards and Julius Randle throughout this entire series. You know, I went on a little rant yesterday on the show, which, you know, I thought the conversation yesterday or after that game was like, Ant's got to step up. Well, it's hard to step up when three defenders converge on your location every time you step inside the 3-point arc, and you have to either shoot over all three of those guys or get out of that scenario. They've been very physical with them. I've been amazed by what the Thunder have been able to do defensively to cut off the water within 4 feet of the basket for Ant, and I think that's going to continue. So along with these offensive adjustments, I think the Thunder win. Again, 8.5 is still a little too high for me, but it's not too high for me to enact the play. And I also do worry about just the mental aspect of this Timberwolves team. You know, I know Kelly, Zach, and I, we were passing around to the Harvard Handicappers group chat, rest in peace, this Chris Finch clip of him talking about how, you know, it's weird. I haven't seen four games. I haven't seen a single off-ball foul called. So that's clearly in their head as well in terms of the way the series has been officiated. I think they're done, but I think they have a shot at covering this big number.
Yeah. It's big.
I love Chris Finch so much. Just the, like, you know, you're not questioning officials if you just wonder aloud, Gil. You know what I mean? Like, it's the, I don't think I've seen a game in history where there's been fouls not called off the ball. It's weird, real weird.
The thing about was driving you crazy about people going after Ant, specifically it was Stephen A. Smith, right, in the 45-second halftime where he's screaming about, I don't care, you got to get more than two shots, right? He's going on 45 seconds. And I just thought to myself, I'm like, Stephen A. probably in his head, he's like, yeah, I'm just going to go with this because it makes me like $20 million a year. So what do I care? Yeah. I'm just going to go with this kind of.
I mean, I don't want to. We're a betting network. I don't want to go too far into it. But I think the coverage around the sport is just overall annoying from the loudest voices. And I think we need to do better. When we're talking about Anthony Edwards not being a family man, but then invoking MJ, Kobe, Shaq, and Larry Bird, along with Magic Johnson as family men when they were the face of the league, I think we've missed the mark in terms of how to cover these series and these games.
Probably true. What about tomorrow night now? Knicks favored by 5. Consensus seeing some 4.5s out there.
Real quick, I will say tonight, I did bet Isaiah Hartenstein under 14.5 rebounds at points and rebounds. We'll talk about that, of course, on Part of Money Moves, but I don't think he's got a spot in this series. I think they're really going to go to this single big lineup. I think they're going to use Holmgren a lot more, and then if they're not, then they're going to go to the spot, the five guards. So I just wanted to throw that out there. For Pacers and Knicks, I mean, first off, Tibbs, what are we doing? I don't know what he's been like. He's clearly grasping at straws in this series. I thought there was a great moment. I think I said it to Kelly and Zach again, where he's asked after the game yesterday, hey, why did you decide to go with Landry Shamet? And he's like, well, I needed more shooting. And they're like, over Deuce McBride. And he's like, I needed more size. Like, it seems that he's very clearly just grasping at straws at this point right now with the way that he's coaching this series. And I don't think it should be ignored at all that Jalen Brunson has not been good in this series, specifically on defense. You know, I think you guys have talked about this, the statistics with his man being used as a screener. They're going after him on almost every single possession. This new lineup that Tibbs unlocked in game three has been outscored by 20.9 points per 100 possessions when it's out there on the floor. When Jalen Brunson and Karl Anthony Towns are on the floor together, they have been absolutely cooked. He has had no real adjustment to make. And that doesn't even bring into the count that this team, of course, from an offensive standpoint, has been lost. So for this, look, I'm amazed that the market is continuing to tell us that they think the Knicks are better than Indiana. This number should not be five. This should be probably like 3 or 2.5, but we're factoring in the bounce back, I guess. Look, the zigzag has been strong throughout this entire postseason, Gil, but from a pure number standpoint, I thought that this should be three. So give me the Indiana Pacers. I think that we are, again, not giving them enough respect from a rating standpoint. They are at the very least equals to the New York Knicks, if not better, and I think we have proven that to this point.
I have played the Pacers in addition to having the pre-flop series price on the Pacers. I've played them every single game this tournament against the spread, against the spread, and I don't see why I would stop tomorrow. It is in fact...
That's been me from game two, if I could just know. I'm with you. Like, I came into this picking the Knicks in seven, but the way that this thing has been rated, for some reason, because they lost game one, the Knicks then got upgraded. And then, like, every single game, you're like, well, what are we watching here? Like, I don't know what the market has been seeing here, so I'm with you.
If it is, in fact, Oklahoma City in Indiana, which, again, non-betting related from a network standpoint, probably a nightmare. But from a betting standpoint, or not from a betting standpoint, just as you see the series... Short, long, do you think the Pacers can actually, you know, really make this interesting? Or do you just think this is an OKC run out?
I think so. To go back, I'll use one of the questions that you used with me and for others during the Super Bowl, right? I think the question was, hey, if this is a blowout, what side is it more likely that it's going to be a blowout? And I think that the answer to that for this series is OKC. Like, if one team's going to dominate and end this thing quickly, I think the Thunder would, because it's that classic matchup of best offense versus best defense. And we see in these late season matchups in whatever sport that generally that defense tends to dictate what is going to happen here. It's not that the Pacers are a bad defensive team. They've actually improved very much, but there's so many answers that the Thunder have with the way they can play on defense. There's so many backcourt defenders for this wing heavy, backcourt heavy team that I think that they're going to be able to answer quite a bit. I think the Thunder will win this series, and I think that it is likely that if they do, it is a shorter series in that range of like five to potentially six games, but I think five is a little more accurate.
By the way, when I asked that question before the Super Bowl, if there is a blowout, which is the team most likely to be the author of that blowout, wasn't the answer Kansas City from everybody at that time?
My answer was Philly, so I don't know if that was. Like, I thought Philly was going to blow them out in a very large fashion, so I think that was Philly when I was listening to a couple of people.
Maybe it was Philly. People got that part right.
Yeah.
Okay. John, a pleasure. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
See you guys in an hour.
JVT coming up with Money Moves when we are done. Memorial Golf next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Start your day with an edge and a game plan. The VSiN Daily Morning Bets podcast is your first look at the day's betting lines, sharp action, and market movement. Pardon me. In just 15 minutes, you'll get everything you need to know to make smarter wagers and stay ahead of the line moves, all before your morning coffee is gone. Hosted by VSiN's team of trusted betting experts, the Daily Morning Bets podcast is a fast, focused, and built for bettors like you. It's fast, focused, and built for bettors like you. That's
even
correct.
Me?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Listen to the VSiN Daily Morning Bets podcast wherever you get your podcast, or get it on the VSiN Watch app, the sharpest way to start your betting day, the VSiN Daily Morning Bets podcast. Check it out. By the way, you can check out this show and every show at VSiN. If you don't catch it live on the VSiN Watch app, it's really seamless, really well done. And each and every show has its own podcast. We have a numbers game podcast. Mm-hmm. We don't talk about that enough.
Yeah. Yep. Every single hour. It's on chopped up by hour.
Does it get on YouTube as well? Yes. Every hour? Because we always have somebody who's like, where's hour two?
Yeah. It gets chopped up by hour. And yes, every once in a while,
I see
goes
hour
wrong.
One, I don't see hour two. Sometimes it's, I see hour two, I don't see hour one.
We also can't control. We send it all out there into the podcast, into the podcast universe.
True that.
Sometimes there are problems with certain services, if it's Apple or Spotify or whatever. So, how many times have we gotten, hey, I don't see it up on Apple.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, well, it's kind of an Apple thing. I don't know what to tell you.
I do my thing where I just CC you and I pass it along.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, podcasting this just in, not exactly the most seamless operation beyond us. We had tweets at Beating the Book. By the way, does anybody tell me why they played Guy I Like out of the first quarter in a commercial? I'm very curious. Usually there's a rhyme or reason to why they play certain songs. I couldn't figure out
why. I feel like
that was.
I heard one other last night. I can't remember what it was now, but I was like walking to the kitchen or something. I'm like, what the heck is this going on right now?
Matthew Mayberry. And does a producer, just one lone person in a corner, make these decisions on the music?
Good question. I would think no.
Matthew Mayberry. I've seen someone put ranch on scrambled eggs.
Meh.
Michael Salvino.
I don't know why that doesn't sound as bad to me. People put ketchup on scrambled eggs.
You know what Wyatt just said behind the glass to me?
What?
He said, have you heard of Oreo cookies with tuna fish? And I'm like, okay, just stop.
All right, come on.
What are we doing? We're just making up stuff.
I believe I got Rob Moreno texted me.
Michael Salvino, congrats to all who had the Pacers, +1.5 for the series versus the Knicks. Yeah, that's already a casher. Steve the Proxy is a native New Yorker and lifelong Bills fan. Wings only belong in blue cheese. My wife's from California. She dips everything in ranch, which just proves one thing. Pizza in California is awful.
Ooh.
And then he adds, except Tony G of Tony's Pizza Napolitana in San Francisco and Pizza Rock. Yes, Tony's Pizza in North Beach is phenomenal.
Where do you stand on ranch versus blue cheese with wings?
Oh, blue cheese, period.
See, I think there are so many. I like both. I like both, actually. But blue cheese can be so hit or miss. Like, there's good blue cheese, and then there can just be such crappy blue cheese that I'd rather have ranch.
Okay. I'm okay with that.
Rob Moreno tells me that our own Isaiah Wrinkle has tried ranch on cereal.
Because
Isaiah Wrinkle would try any of this.
What leads you to even in
no
your head?
No idea,
Gil. Like, oh, I'll give this a shot.
No idea.
So gross. Chris Heath, I need a visual on what goes down behind the glass when the country club and track drops. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to pull out my phone right now and I'm going to do it because, ladies and gentlemen, it's time to go country clubbing.
You know how to use that thing? Wow. All right, wait for this video on Gil's Twitter. 4.5 hours. And it's not even good because we have tinted glass.
Not good. They're gonna have to record it themselves.
Yeah, right. We're gonna need a Rob Moreno recording back there.
Let me just ask you a question. Were you just suggesting that I, Gen Xer, am not able to use things on my phone?
You are very.
What an ageist thing to say.
You are very skilled with your phone. I did just learn this morning, though, that you haven't had internet for 3 days and have survived somehow.
Sunday night, my thanks Cox Cable. My internet just goes out right now. This happened before. You do a take the plug out, you put it back in, you restart your Roku, whatever. There's all ways around it, or they can reset the stuff. No, it's out. Like something is wrong with the router itself. The router needs to go and needs to be replaced. One of the things I was trying was I got on the chat to be like, hey, what's going on here with this? So it's like not working. And in the middle of the chat, they're like, hey, while you're here, can we sell you this other stuff?
Oh,
I'm like, are you for real?
That.
Is this what you're doing right now?
Would you like to give us some feedback on our performance? It's like, do you really want me to give you feedback on your performance?
Oh, my God.
I might be coming close to the end as well, because I've had a problem with a cable box. Like every week for the past 3 weeks. And then this morning, my internet was down. That's why I actually thought we were having the same problem.
Yeah, now
I had to come in here early.
Now, the fortune for me is that I can take 20 steps up the hill and I'm at the Aria. So I just go to the sports book.
Yeah, and you're
right.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
The memorial.
We're just saying the same things now. All right, go. I'll stop talking.
Let's do the rest of the show in unison.
You just said, all right, the memorial, both of us. All right, go.
That was good. All right. Hey, Gil, second to last signature event of the season. I know. I did the same thing.
It's May.
Yeah.
And
we still have two more majors. So they front loaded this signature event schedule, which I probably knew 5 months ago. But when I read this again yesterday, I was like, huh, that's kind of surprising.
Are you as outraged as Dave Ross is that Rory is not at this? Dave Ross is very angry about this.
No. You know what? You know me. I've never really been the biggest Rory fan. You've never really heard me talk. Yeah. But the one thing I always give Rory credit for that he's never going to get enough for is that he was the guy who had to stick up for the PGA Tour for years during this LIV mess.
Yes.
And guess what? Nobody had his back at the end when it mattered. It was, mm-hmm. oh, we're going to go to the negotiating table.
That's right.
When they forced him out there to talk
not
for
only
the
did
PGA
they not
Tour.
Have his back, they went around him.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Wow. Rory can do what he wants. You know what? I respect he's going to play in the Canadian Open next week. That's something that He's done as much as he can. The links back between Ireland, Great Britain, right, and Canada. He likes to play in that National Open when he can. So I don't have a huge problem with it, but it does hurt the event a little bit. And I guess if Jack was expecting a call, it's a little weird that he didn't call him. That part, I'll admit to. Yeah.
That part, yeah.
So you have every eligible golfer within the top 30 in the world golf rankings in attendance, Gil. The only one missing, Rory McIlroy. So we do have each one of these signature events that are kind of tied to one of the legendary names. We do have a cut. So Field is at 72 right now, but it's top 50 in ties for the cut. Also with the caveat that if you're within 10 shots of the leader, you make the cut as well. Muirfield Village, one of the toughest tests in golf we get all season long. Long golf course, thick rough to deal with. You've got water dangers. You got small greens. You're going to play a lot of around the green, and scrambling is going to come into play here if you're doing your own handicapping at home. This is a, let's see, fourth toughest course to gain strokes around the greens. Toughest course on tour to gain on approach. Real tough test for the guys that you're getting out there this week. Things that I really emphasize were accuracy off the tee, long approach distances, and scrambling ability and scoring on par fives. You got four par fives. You're on a par 72. Got to take advantage of the par fives, even though they are one of the toughest set of par fives on the PGA Tour. Guess what? They're the only holes on the course that play under par. So you got to take advantage of those. As far as bets for me this week, look, Scottie Scheffler, top of the odds board. He is plus 280. It's a small size field. I can't say those odds don't make sense. Then it's Morikawa, Xander Schauffele right now at 16-1, JT 18-1, everybody else 22-1 or longer. Three outrights for me this week. I did play Xander. I'm gonna give Xander a shot this week, Gil. I think he's getting close to getting back to that form or some of that form that we saw last summer when he had finally broken through and started playing like one of the best players on the PGA Tour. The club speed, what he's doing off the tee right now, is incredibly impressive. It's just kind of getting all the other parts of his game together. And he's done really well here at the Memorial. He's got five top 20 finishes in his last 6 years. So really like him this weekend. Playing outright on him, 19-1, cover it with a top five. Other outrights for me then, Keegan Bradley. I'm going back to Keegan. He has looked really, really impressive recently. In the last 12 rounds, he is second tee to green in this field, 17th off the tee, 17th on approach, finished T8 at the PGA, T30 at the Truist, T18 at the RBC Heritage, all elevated events. This isn't a course he's had a ton of success at, but a 50-1 in this short of field, I think it's a good number on Keegan, so I'm going to play him in the outrights and cover it with a top five. And then Shane Lowry, I initially didn't play an outright on him, but I got convinced on long shots. Check it out now up on YouTube or wherever you can find your podcast.
You've been a lot of Shane Lowry this year,
haven't
you?
I have. Yeah. I was really just going to stick in the top 20 market, though. Matt convinced me. I jumped on an outright with him. Look, he plays tough courses very well. He's also played this course particularly well, T16 and a T6 here in the last four starts of his. He did miss the cut at the PGA, so keep that in mind. But all the stats that I was really emphasizing this week, he really checked the boxes for. So I'm going to go Lowry outright, and then I'm going to played him in the top 20 market there as well. And then the other guys you see on there, Siwoo Kim and Corey Connors, I love this week. Just sticking in top 10 and top 20 markets with those guys, though. I'm not sure the exact same win equity is there. Corey Connors has been a top 20 machine, though. I'm not going away from that right now. Favorite bet of the week, Harris English in plus money in a tournament matchup over Ben Griffin, who just won for the first time on the PGA Tour. I'll take that. Harris English rated out pretty highly for me this week. And then I hate to do it, Gil. I love Berger. Wow. He still rates out high for me.
How dare you?
But this is just a numbers play. I'm getting plus money on Siwoo, so I played him in a matchup.
It's a numbers play. It's a numbers game.
That's right.
I understand. Okay. Thank you for that. Country Club. We'll see if we can get some video from behind the glass for those who requested such things. I'll review my College World Series bets. We'll talk about the potential series matchups in the NBA, what those series price odds are. And Steve Fezzik will join us. It's a numbers game right here at VSiN.